It is time for another episode of the Tan and J-Man Show. Happy Veterans Day to all you veterans out there that have served your country to keep us safe. We could not thank you enough for your service. I know I've had some military people in my family. I'm sure you have as well, but we are forever indebted to your sacrifice.
Very well said, J-Man. I'm glad you said something, because it was on my mind to say something, and I was afraid I was going to forget.
Beat you. So,
glad that's why you had the intro tonight. So, how we doing, J-Man?
Doing all right. It's as we said last week, very busy time of year, as we got college basketball now starting. College football is entering the stretch run. It's hard to believe there's only 3 weeks left of college football. It feels like it just started.
Three weeks left. But then, and then we have probably the biggest postseason ever.
Easily,
you know, you got the conference championship games, but now you got the extended 12-team playoff, which there's going to be a ton of interest in the state of Indiana, to say the least, in that. So,
Yeah, and then of course we're a little past the midway point of the NFL season, but a lot of games and a lot of things to sort out in the NFL here the next month and a half or so.
Yes, there are. Especially in the NFC is a little more bunched up right now than the AFC, I would say, for the playoffs. But still, like you said, month and a half left. A lot of things can happen.
Yes, sir. You got some birdie bogey for me tonight?
I do. Let me bring up the banner here. And let me get my phone out of my pocket. That would help. So I am dumbing down this question a little bit.
You know what? That's a very smart thing to do for me.
Oh, the original type of question I wanted to do, it was too hard. It was too hard. So we're dumbing this down, right? So there's five Big Ten schools that have won a national championship in both football and basketball. Name those five.
Name those five. Football and basketball.
Four for birdie, or four for par, five for birdie.
All right. Birdie Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House. Arlington Public House is upscale cuisine and cocktails with a casual atmosphere, located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. Over the weekend, they had veal scallopinis expertly pan-seared and served on a flavorful bed of couscous, finished with a sweet and tangy pomegranate molasses, fresh spinach, crumbled feta, and crunchy roasted almonds for a truly satisfying dish. That is a glimpse into some of the food you can get there. Their weekly or their weekend specials always look fantastic.
They're special for a reason.
Yeah. Are you a fan of veal?
I don't think I've ever had it.
I mean, it's cow. It's baby cow.
I mean, yeah, it's when you put it that way, it's really sad to think about.
Something about it makes it taste better. I don't know why.
Oh, my gosh.
Hopefully PETA doesn't try to shut us down.
Well, bring it on. Bring it on,
PETA.
But going back to my question, I gave you the question of five Big Ten teams. There's also five non-Big Ten teams. So there's 10.
Originally,
I was going to say name 10, and I was going to say like six for birdie. Mm. But can you try to name the five non-Big Ten schools?
Non-Big Ten schools that have won in both football and basketball.
This goes back a ways, J-Man. I'm just letting you know.
Florida. That's Florida,
yes. That was 96, 06, and 08 for football, 06, 07 for basketball.
Man, I'm terrible at basketball trivia of who's won in football, too. Thinking of ACC, I don't think Duke. Maybe North Carolina. I don't think they've ever won football. Nope. Virginia football ever won back in the day? No.
Nope.
I stink.
There is three ACC school teams.
Three ACC, man. Louisville?
Nope.
I was so confident in that one. Virginia Tech, they ever win in basketball?
Nope.
Clemson, ever win in basketball? No. Nope. NC State?
Nope.
I'm an embarrassment. Just give them to me.
Syracuse.
Wasn't a guess football.
1959 in football and 03 in basketball. Cal.
I wouldn't even thought about them for either sport, let alone ACC.
1959 basketball. Football is 1920, 21, 22, 23. And okay. They're a powerhouse in the 20s. And then Stanford.
Okay.
1942 for basketball, 1926 and 1940 for football. And there's one other SEC school.
SEC, okay. SEC. Who's in the SEC? Tennessee's number one in basketball, I'm pretty sure.
Correct.
Kentucky, I can't imagine, is one in football.
Nope.
SEC. LSU?
No, good guess, though.
Oh, shoot. I don't know.
Arkansas.
Arkansas.
1964 football, 1994 basketball.
That was a good question. Would have had no shot, and I'm going to have no shot at the Big Ten as well. But you never know. Maybe I'll get lucky.
Yeah, there you go. What do you want to start off with tonight?
Let's start off college football.
College football, yeah. We are 11, like you were saying, 11 weeks in now, coming up on week 12, and there was a lot to take away from week 11. The playoff picture got shaken up, I think, a little bit. We'll find out officially tomorrow night when the second playoff rankings come out, but I think we're going to see some movement big time.
Yeah, especially, I mean, Georgia lost, which was massive. They lose another one. They can't put them in, right?
No, I don't think you can put a three loss. I wouldn't think you put a three loss Georgia in.
I wouldn't put it past the committee, though.
They're lucky they're ranked where they were before this second.
Yeah. I did see a bowl projection today that had Illinois playing Georgia in one of the, I think, the Citrus Bowl, something like that, which would be an absolute bloodbath if they were to play. Their third stringers would just wipe the floor with that Illinois team. We have four Big Ten teams in the top five, right?
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah. rounding the top five out is Indiana. Can you believe it?
Not their not their highest ranking they've ever had. They got up to fourth in 1967. But highest in quite a while. No, I can't believe it. They have just caught lightning in a bottle this year. Everything has lined up perfectly. You know, they got a good coach who brought his whole entire staff. Brought 13 players with them, 10 of those who are starting. 20 of their 22 starters came from the portal. So it's just a brand new team. And then they had, of course, an easy non-conference schedule, which everybody knew that was going to be. But their Big Ten schedule has ended up being pretty darn easy. They have yet to beat or play anybody who has made a bowl yet. And they have one ranked team, and that's going to be Ohio State next week. So, I mean, they can't help how the other teams' seasons are going. But they did survive a close one, their first close game of the season on Saturday, which they were getting tense down there in the fourth quarter. The stadium, you could feel it, or watching on TV, you could see it in the stadium. But their defense did enough to hold off a Michigan offense that just can't do anything. And got the win. So I think they're in pretty good shape.
Mm-hmm.
The only way I don't see them getting in is if they lose to Ohio State, then miraculously somehow lose to Purdue. Then they're not getting in. Or I suppose if they absolutely got crushed by Ohio State, but I think they would absolutely have to get slaughtered. I don't see it happening. So
they lose to Ohio State. That means they're probably, unless Ohio State somehow slips up against whoever else they have, they're probably not going to play in the Big Ten championship game because Ohio State would have the head-to-head anyway.
Well, and then, you know, Penn State and Oregon right there too.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't think if they lose a game, I don't think they make the Big Ten championship. But say they lose to Ohio State, beat Purdue, that might benefit them not playing in the Big Ten championship because say make the Big Ten championship, get smacked by Oregon. That's two losses, and then you leave a bad final impression to the committee.
And honestly, it's who knows what the name of Indiana will bring to the committee, you know? Say they do end up, you know, making the Big Ten title game with one loss and then getting smacked by Oregon or whoever. Do they leave them out just because they're Indiana?
Right. Well, their record probably justified them to be higher than an 8 seed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the playoff standings, and they weren't. And BYU fans could argue that too.
For sure.
Like, hey, we're undefeated and we've beat ranked teams. And you're putting us 10th or 9th or whatever they were. 10th, I think it was. So, it's going to be very interesting how it all shakes out for sure. But no, I would have never guessed that. I didn't think the Big Ten would have 4 teams at all vying for it. But here we are. And I know they're loving it because this is exactly what they wanted.
Yeah. There's a legitimate chance that there are 4 1-loss Big Ten teams. Do they put all 4 in?
Depending on how other things shake out, but I could see it.
Of the 12 teams, that'd be 33% of.
I don't think Oregon loses a game though. So.
I don't either.
But then you have 3. You there's a good chance you have 3 1-loss teams. I think then the Big Ten gets 4 teams in.
I think Indiana would be sweating though, because I think the committee. Of course, we don't have a clue what the committee, if it's the same sort of system or whatever they did for the 4 teams. You know, it could be completely different.
Right.
I just feel like a team like Indiana would be sweating it out because their schedule was poor. Assuming they get beat by Ohio State, depending on how it happens, if it's a really close game, that will help their case. But if they get beat by 40. And then beat Purdue, they're 11-1, and say a Penn State or Ohio State knocks off Oregon. So you have 3 or 4 teams. Even if Oregon wins, you have a 12-0 Oregon. You have, let's say, I don't even know, 11-2 Ohio State, 11-1 Penn State. I think they'd take the 2-win or the 2-loss Ohio State over an Indiana team, and I think they'd take a 2-loss Georgia team. Or 2-loss Alabama team over Indiana.
I think you're 100% correct. And I think the arguments there, of course, name brand, ratings, ticket sales, following. But also, that's probably where schedules come into play. And it's not as fair. But, you know, it would be interesting. What would Indiana do with Ohio State's schedule, who has had to play Oregon? And they didn't play anybody in non-conference.
At Oregon, at Penn State.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, they have Penn State too. Yeah, so. And of course, SEC is a gauntlet. We know that, no matter what team you are. So it's going to be really interesting how it shakes out. It looks like Notre Dame's probably going to get in unless they slip up to Virginia, Army, or USC, which they're playing really good football. So I don't see that happening. I think looking back, that Northern Illinois game was a blessing in disguise. Mm-hmm. I think it got them to really focus early.
Their schedule also ended up not being very good. I mean, you have Florida State now 1-8, 1-9, whatever they are.
1-9, and they lost 52-3 to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, which we didn't think it was going to be that hard on paper. I think we both had them losing one game.
Yeah.
I had A&M. I think you had USC, or maybe you also had A&M.
And that's another team being down helps that schedule as well as USC. It's now not nearly as difficult as it was. I mean, Florida State, they came in ranked top 10. USC was top 20. And now 1-9, and USC is struggling to just make a bowl at this point.
Yep. So, I mean, they avoided Clemson, which I think they would have beat Clemson anyways. They avoided Miami, which your Canes took an L, the Georgia Tech.
They were due for that, for sure.
They've been flirting with disaster for weeks, and they almost pulled it off. But it's going to be – I'm all for the 12-team playoff, and I'm even excited in 2 years when they expand it the more, because I think it gives a lot of teams a fighting chance that normally wouldn't have a chance.
So,
Ole Miss beating Georgia. I didn't see that coming, especially when Jackson Dart got banged up right away.
Yeah.
I thought Georgia would roll. Nope, that didn't happen. The Holy War was quite a game. BYU escaped Utah somehow after trailing majority of the game. Then Utah's athletic director made himself look like a idiot after the game.
Was there a questionable holding call that prolonged a BYU drive that ended up winning in the game?
I believe so. And then they kicked the field goal. Yeah. Yeah, I'll get to defense penalties later when we talk NFL. But around the Big Ten, Iowa goes out to L.A. and loses to a Bruins team, which Shout out to Foster. I can't think of his first name. The first year head coach. They looked early on like they were going to be the worst team in the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. And they have turned it around to be 4-5, and they've had a tough schedule.
Yeah, finding a way to win in Nebraska last week and then beating an Iowa team that coming into the year, a lot of people thought Iowa would go 11-1 because their schedule was so easy. Now they're sitting there at 6-4. No one shows up to games out there, and it was a tough situation because Chip Kelly kind of left the cupboards bare out there, and they kind of took a chance on a running backs coach. Of course, he's an alum. To be able to win four games, because I think we had him, 2-10 or 3-9, something like that, finishing, I think I had him dead last. Maybe I had Minnesota dead last, which looks stupid now. Credit to Deshaun Foster.
Well, we both looked very stupid at our Big Ten predictions with Indiana.
We're terrible.
You had them second to last, and I had them. I had them 12th, but at 5-7.
Yeah.
We were way off the mark there. We had no idea Cignetti was actually going to be. I just thought coming from James Madison would be too big of a jump in year one, but what do I know? I know nothing.
Yeah. So, I mean, the portal helps turn it around real quick.
It does. But also, I think he has set up for other teams that make coaching moves a unrealistic expectation.
Yeah.
Thinking things will just switch in a year. It's not always going to be that easy by any
means. Very rare.
By any means. And really, in Cignetti's case, he's probably never going to be able to replicate this.
It's all downhill from here.
And I wasn't going to put it like that. I don't know what jobs are going to open up. I don't know what interests he would get. I know he's in his early 60s. He probably doesn't want to make a move, but his value will never be hotter than
never
it is
be
right
higher.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting to watch. Mm-hmm. But I don't know a lot of jobs that open up because every job I thought that might be opening, Florida State, those aren't opening.
Plus, the amount of money the Big Ten's bringing in with the new TV deals and everything, regardless of what job you're at in the Big Ten, it's one of the elite jobs in the country, unless an SEC school comes calling. But
I guess one to watch is if West Virginia opens up because he's alum there. Hmm. So, or if Penn State, but they're not going to buy Franklin out of a $50 million contract, I don't think.
No. Well, that buyout's got to be getting smaller here over the next couple of years, right?
Lincoln Riley's is $80 million at USC.
He's not going anywhere.
I didn't realize that till the other day. I'm like, jeez.
Yeah, especially a school like USC, they're not going to buy out an $80 million buyout like Texas A&M did with Jimbo and, what was that, 106 or something like that?
Yeah. They're different down there. Rutgers beating Minnesota.
That was a shocker.
Yeah, Shiano really needed that win. And right when we're giving Fleck some praise, they lay a stinker.
Yeah, that's kind of how it's gone for the middle of the road Big Ten teams this year. It feels like, all right, they've won a few in a row. It looks like they're going to take off and they lay an egg. It wasn't Athon Arthur, whatever his first name is, Callie McNannis. Brutal name to pronounce, revenge game against Minnesota, he was quarterback for last year. Callie McNannis, I can't even do it.
I'm not even trying. Like we said, Indiana won a close one against Michigan. Oregon handled Maryland, a game that wasn't as close as the score indicated.
Yeah.
And then Penn State rolled Washington. Mm. It is interesting. The Big Ten, we were talking about, you know, they got four of the top five ranked teams in the nation. Everybody else is pretty mediocre to bad.
Pretty mediocre to bad. Yep.
Yep. I mean,
it's very really, really good teams, and the rest is just kind of blech.
Yeah. 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 I could see the Big Ten. And who cares about bowls anymore besides the playoffs? I was going to say, I could see the Big Ten have a bad bowl performance, but when your players are sitting out or whatever, it doesn't really matter. So. But let's pick some games for week 12, starting with a Big 10 matchup Friday night, UCLA at Washington. Washington's a 3.5-point favorite in this one.
Washington's looked terrible since Big 10 play started. But for some reason I keep picking them. Washington for 3.
I got Washington for 2 'cause they're home.
Yeah.
I'm like,
that's pretty much all the only reason I picked them.
Number 2, Ohio State, 30-point favorite at Northwestern.
I have Ohio State for 6.
I got Buckeyes for 6 as well. They'll have more fans there than Northwestern.
Yes, for sure.
Michigan State at Illinois. Illinois is a 2.5-point favorite. Illinois 6-3. Michigan State 4-5. Michigan State needs this one.
Yeah, they're coming off a big – I think they're both coming off byes.
Correct.
Michigan State had a big win against Iowa. I think that was 2 weeks ago now or last week. Illinois, 2 weeks to prepare.
No, Michigan State's last game, they got blitzed by Indiana.
That's right. That's right. So
the week before they beat Iowa.
Coming off a loss, I guess, against Indiana. Illinois needs this one to kind of switch the narrative that Bielema's teams start to slide in November, because it's happened the past couple years. Just because they're at home, taking Illinois for two.
I got Illinois for four, and that bit put them one win away from the 8-win quota for J-Man to get back on the bandwagon.
I bumped it up to 10, remember?
No. number six, Penn State, 28.5-point favorite at Purdue. Why do they keep putting Purdue on national television? Yeah. 3:30 CBS. I am sick of it.
I saw Ryan Walter said today, I'm not going to disclose who's starting, but if I was Penn State, I'd be preparing for both.
Duh. Yeah, he's not helping his case by some things he's saying right now.
I saw an email that was sent out, I think, to the paint crew about no chance. Were they chanting fire Walters?
They did Friday during the end of the game. It was, I was one of the few watching because I paid for Big Ten Plus. I got to remember to unsubscribe for that later this month. But I heard it on TV. I'm like, that's embarrassing. That's a bad look, especially when the football team's not even there. They're in Columbus. Yeah. And, of course, Barstool gets a hold of it. They're making fun of Purdue for being soft and blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
It's a bad look. You don't do that. Yep. With that being said, I'm taking Penn State for seven.
I got Penn State for seven as well. I mean, not only is Penn State a lot better team, Purdue just only beat Penn State, I think, two times. Yeah. So
I'll be surprised if Purdue scores a point, because Penn State's defense is ridiculous.
Yeah, well, it's just and I know people are tired of hearing me say it, but not only is this Purdue team bad, their schedule's just been just absolutely brutal.
This is bad next year too. So you just let Walters just get destroyed next year and then fire him?
I don't. That's the case a lot of people are making. Let's do it now instead of going through this one more year. So it's a little better next year, at least in non-conferences. No. Even though, looking back, that Oregon State game, I think, flipped the whole season, because they probably should have found a way to win that game, because Oregon State's not good. But anyways, Penn State for seven as well. Nebraska at USC. USC is a 9.5-point favorite. I was a little surprised by that line.
I am rooting against Nebraska. I mean, we root against Nebraska anyways. But if they end up 5-7, it will be the most hilarious thing after having Patrick Mahomes Jr. there. Hasn't thrown a touchdown since like September. USC for four. For some reason, I keep picking USC.
Is Rule on the hot seat going in next year if they don't make a bowl?
Definitely. At Nebraska, you got to win. Yeah.
Starting off 5-1, too. Yeah. So I'm taking USC for three. Rutgers at Maryland, and Maryland's a 6-point favorite.
What's Maryland's record?
They are 4-5. Rutgers 5-4. So both these teams
need
this one.
I know Rutgers has Illinois at home in 2 weeks, I believe. So Maryland's, if Rutgers can find a way to win this one.
Maryland has Iowa at home and at Penn State after this.
Must win for Maryland to even be in consideration for a bowl. Yeah. But I'm taking them. Give me Maryland for one.
I got Maryland for one as well. And number one, Oregon at Wisconsin. Oregon's a 14.5-point favorite. Wisconsin's record's 5-4. There's so many 4-5 teams.
I have Oregon for five.
I got the Ducks for five as well. Gabe Brindle's a tough place to play, but they never win those big night games.
Never.
Oregon's just too talented.
Yeah, much better. Yeah, they're better than everyone in the conference. Yeah. I mean, Ohio State was right there with them. They ended up losing by one.
Those are the top
two. But, I think Oregon would blow out. Maybe not blow them out, but win handily against a team like Penn State even.
Yeah. Go around top 25. You got 4-5 Utah at number 20. Ugh. 7-2 Colorado. This is the Fox Big Noon game, so it's 10 o'clock Colorado time. Man. It's kicking off, and Colorado is a 10-point favorite. And did you see Travis Hunter is winning the odds down in Vegas to be Heisman?
So Colorado's pretty good.
I know. I hate it.
I still think I think Jerry's going to make a call. Jerry Jones going to make a call to old Dion this offseason.
I think he makes a call to Belichick.
Think so?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Utah, very disappointing season. Right when I jumped on the bandwagon,
Cam Rising got hurt.
He's 26 years old. He needs to get a job.
He's trying to apply for the eighth year.
Somebody just needs to print out or just send him a link to Indeed, and then he'll be fine. He's always hurt.
Every single year
he's hurt. You can't depend on the guy. Yeah. Give me Colorado. I think they're legitimately pretty good.
I'm unfortunately taking Colorado as well. This is just turning. There's a way. If they went out, they're in the Big 12 championship. They're in the playoff.
Yeah.
And I just this is just my nightmare.
The Big 12 is pretty down. Oklahoma stinks. BYU's good. Utah was
Oklahoma
down.
State stinks.
Oklahoma State stinks too.
Because Oklahoma's in the SEC.
Oh, they are, aren't they? I almost said Missouri.
I was helping you out there.
I almost said Missouri stinks too, and they've been in the SEC for a decade now. Oklahoma State's terrible. Texas is no longer in the Big 12 either. Texas State's not right. Good. TCU stinks. Arizona stinks. Arizona State stinks. Big 12's terrible at football.
Yeah.
Kansas stinks.
Let me check here. Iowa State 17th, Kansas State 19th.
Iowa State just got beat by a bad Kansas team.
Yeah, they did. BYU's 9.
They are one of just, I think, 3 programs ever not to win 10 games.
You said that Arizona State stinks. They're 7-2.
They're pretty good. That's why I'm in.
The only reason I knew that, somebody said they were almost ranked. I'm like, what? I thought they're terrible.
Yeah.
Maybe they just haven't played anybody. Anyways, number 23, Clemson, 10-point favorite at number 18, Pittsburgh.
What's the line?
Clemson's 10-point favorite on the road.
10-point, okay.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh coming off a bad loss to somebody. I can't remember who, though.
They lost to Virginia.
Yeah, bad loss. Give me Clemson.
I'll take Pittsburgh. Switch it up. Hey, this is the week where a couple SEC teams play nobody, like Alabama's hosting Mercer.
They do that every year in November. I hate it.
Yep. LSU lost handily to Alabama.
Kelly's got to be feeling some heat, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
They're at Florida. LSU's a 4-point favorite, but I think they bounce back and get it done.
I do, too. Florida with a pathetic showing against Texas over the weekend.
Yeah. Virginia at number 10, Notre Dame. Virginia's 5-4. Notre Dame's a 23-point favorite.
Give me Notre Dame. I think they're a very, very good football team that had a very weird slip-up against Northern Illinois.
This is their senior day because they play Army next week in Yankee Stadium. They're at USC. So, Arizona State at number 19, Kansas State, who's 9-point favorite.
Forgot about Kansas State. They're pretty good in the Big 12. Yeah. Give me K-State.
I'll take K-State as well. And these rankings are as of yesterday, so that's some way I'm reading them. Number 7, Tennessee at number 3, Georgia. Georgia's 10-point favorite.
Give me Georgia.
Yep.
I think not for back. A true freshman quarterback to go in there and win.
Then that gives Tennessee 2 losses.
There's going to be multiple 2-loss SEC schools, and it's going to tick us all off.
Yep. So that's going to do it for top 25 games. There's nothing else that's really catching my eye. So, yeah. You want to get educated, J-Man?
What?
Let's talk about some sporting events that have happened on November 11th. Let's see here. Oh, boy. On this day, 1946, the New York Knicks played their first Basketball Association of America, the BAA, home game at Madison Square Garden. They lost 78-68 to the Chicago Stags in overtime.
The Knickerbockers.
Man, this is pretty dry list this week. Pretty dry. Oh, on this day, 1981, what rookie MLB pitcher became the first rookie to win a Cy Young Award?
81. Fernando Valenzuela?
You got it.
J-Man.
LA Dodgers.
He just passed away last month, I think, or 2 months ago.
Did he?
He was only 60-something.
Raleigh Fingers was the AL winner that year.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
Who won the Cy Youngs in 1987 on this day?
87.
The AL winner was back-to-back years. I'll give you that hint.
I have no idea. Don't even have a guess for you.
Roger Clemens. on the AL. And the NL was Phillies starter Steve Bedrosian.
Steve Bedrosian.
Bedrosian, yeah.
Yeah, his son pitched for a little bit a few years ago.
All right. How about 1996 on this day? Who won the Cy Young Awards?
96? Maddox win it in the National League?
Right team, wrong pitcher, Smoltz.
Oh, shoot, Smoltz. American League?
You want the team?
Yeah.
Blue Jays.
Is that Roger Clemens as well?
That's who I would have figured if you would have told me 96 Blue Jays. Pat Hinch.
Oh, Hinken? I didn't know you won a Cy Young.
Yep. How about on this day, 1997?
Give me the team.
Blue Jays and Expos.
Expos was Pedro.
Yep.
Blue Jays in 97. Again, another Blue Jay.
Yep.
Is that Clemens?
That was Clemens.
Rocket.
Yep. On this day, 1997, NHL's new Columbus franchise scheduled to begin play in 2000 announced the team name would be the Blue Jackets after soldiers in the Union Army during the American Civil War.
24 years already, huh?
Also on this day, 1997, the WNBA announced the franchises in Detroit, the Shock, and Washington, D.C., the Mystics, would join the league as expansion teams for the 1998 season. Both those teams have had pretty good success over the years.
When did that league begin? Couldn't have been that much longer before that.
Yeah, I think the early 90s, maybe. Yeah. And on this day in 2020, who won the Cy Young Awards?
2020. Did Trevor Bauer win it?
For the Reds, yep.
And I think Yu Darvish finished second or third. American League Cy Young Award winner was what team?
The then Indians, now Guardians.
Bieber?
Shane Bieber.
Shane Bieber.
You got it. Good year for the state of Ohio pitching there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's going to do it for the On This Day list, which is brought to you by, like it is every week, Mooney Woodcrafts. Mooney Woodcrafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Woodcrafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tanner J-Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your first signed order. J-Man, have you started your Christmas shopping yet?
No, I haven't.
I have not either. I need to get on that very soon because it's going to be Christmas before we know it.
Yeah.
And I've been telling all of our viewers and listeners all year long that a sign from Mooney Woodcrafts would make the perfect Christmas gift. So no excuse.
I don't even have a plan yet of what I want to get people.
Well, have you even asked your wife? Like, I asked my wife and she gives me no ideas whatsoever.
Yeah. Mine sent me a link to something. I just need to order it.
At least you got a link.
It's been easy the past couple of years. She's like, I want an Apple Watch. Okay. I'll get you an Apple Watch. I want an iPad. Okay. I'll get you that. This year there's been nothing. Yeah, absolutely nothing.
You want that one big ticket item because it's easy.
Yeah.
Get it done.
Yeah. And then
small things.
Yeah. A few small things that aren't going to, you know, yeah. But, and then the worst part is her birthday is 2 weeks later. So,
Yeah.
But, love you.
Oh, yours is coming up a month after Christmas.
Month after. That's enough of a buffer in between Christmas and birthday.
Your household has a lot of birthdays there within about a month and a half straight.
Yeah. December 4th, January 8th, and January 26th. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
My mom's is the 22nd of December, so we got that one in there too. And my niece Andy's is December 14th, so there's like six of them.
There's five a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like my family in the summer. I forget what month. There's a summer month that's just like crazy. Packed. But on the flip side, have you given her any ideas for you for Christmas?
I don't even have an idea of what
I'm struggling too.
I'm bigger on experiences more than like material things. Like my parent, like I'm going to the Dolphins game on Sunday. That's one of my Christmas gifts for my mom and dad. One year, my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, got me Illinois tickets up in Northwestern.
Yep. So they win that game?
They did. If you remember, Kofi missed a few games with a concussion, and it was his first game back. They were losing the entire time, and Brandon Pajemski, who was like the 11th man on Illinois, came in and hit a big three, and now, of course, he's second-year starter in the NBA for the Golden State Warriors after he transferred. And then Damonte Williams, of all people, had a tip slam with about a minute left that gave him the lead. It was
– exciting game.
I'm telling you, if you can go to an opposing arena in the Big Ten, go to Northwestern. It's a cool little arena, easy to get to. It feels like you're watching a big high school gym. It's loud. Mm-hmm. Of course, Illinois fans help that. But say you go see Purdue, I'm sure there's a lot of Purdue fans that go to that game too.
Most Big Ten schools because of Chicago alumni. So,
yeah.
Well, let's stick with football and talk some outside NBA. Let's talk some. Let's not talk NBA. I have not watched any NBA.
Me either.
Let's talk some NFL. Week 10's been interesting around the league. I'm still sulking. I'm still depressed.
That was rough.
Toughest regular season loss I've ever had as an NFL fan.
Yeah.
The
Chiefs, man, they have this like
they devil. They got black magic going on right now.
They have this like this voodoo devil magic that they have where a chip shot field goal. Throw it was a 35
yards? Yarder. 95% in the last 5 years. 95% attempts from 35 yards have went in.
You never see those get blocked either.
No.
So I don't know what's going on there, but
Alex Forsythe's what's going on the left side. If he's blocking, they exposed it. And I saw replays today of every field goal attempt yesterday and extra point attempt for the Broncos. And everyone got progressively worse on Forsythe. They were getting him on the ground. Yeah. And finally, and my dad brought up a great point. Not always are NFL guys or even college guys for that matter laying everything out for a block kick, but you are at the end of the game.
At the end of the game.
Let's make a break. Sure. Because really, when you think about a field goal, I'm surprised more kicks don't get blocked than they do.
Yeah.
When you really break it down. And yesterday, if whoever blocked it for the Chiefs didn't block it, they had three other guys that were going up.
Yeah.
I mean, it was that bad on the left side. So
it looked like Lutz hit more of a line drive anyway, which kind of helped that matter.
Yeah, I don't know with that many guys if it would have mattered if he had much height on it. So I don't know. Yep, but I just wish I would have seen the kick get above the line to see if he could have made it or not. Because the Broncos played great on defense. They outplayed the Chiefs. They were tougher. Yeah. The offense was good in second quarter, bad in second half until that last drive. Bo Nix did what he needed to do to get him down there. It was going to be his first big signature win. Just wasn't meant to be. So pretty bummer.
Chiefs are 9-0, and they could easily be 4-5.
Easily.
Awfully fortunate the previous week on Monday night against Tampa Bay in the rain. Yep. So many close calls for them, and I don't even – they're not even the best team in the AFC, in my opinion, even though they're 9-0.
No.
But they keep winning games.
But they keep winning games. In the last 8 or 9 games, they've been down 7 or more. They've won every single one of them.
Yeah, that's – you would say that's not sustainable, but they continue to sustain
championship,
it. So.
Championship team, man. It's annoying.
Yeah. Three winners, three losers. I believe I usually start with the winners. My first winner, Pittsburgh Steelers. 7-2 or 8-2? I think they're 7-2.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Go into Washington and find a way to win 29-28. Mike Tomlin's a top two football coach in the NFL, behind maybe Andy Reid. Doing what he's been able to do with all these different quarterbacks that haven't been that good. Russell Wilson's been good for him. I believe he is only 2 or 3 touchdowns away from having the most touchdown passes in a season by a Steelers quarterback since Ben Roethlisberger, and he's only played 3 games. That's how bad Kenny Pickett was. Mason Rudolph was bad. Justin Fields was bad. But, the Steelers, they find a way to get done because they have an incredible culture there and an incredible defense for the most part.
I am going with the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, yeah.
Scoring 19 consecutive points, and what a story Jake Bates is around the league. This guy was a brick salesman a couple weeks ago, and now he's kicking game-winning kicks, game-tying and game-winning kicks. Barely making those two, but they were long ones, but he made them. This Lion team, we've said it, is for real. When you can win a game against a playoff caliber team on the road with your quarterback throwing five touchdowns, you're championship material.
Five interceptions, not touchdowns.
Interceptions. Thank you. Didn't even realize I said touchdowns. Interceptions.
Yeah.
If your quarterback throws five touchdowns,
you're probably going to win. Yeah. Jared Goff has now thrown four or more interceptions in six games in his career. And somehow his team is 6-0 in all. They've won every single one of them. They're 6-0.
I wouldn't keep trying that, though. That doesn't sound like a formula that can last.
I remember way back in the day, Peyton was with the Colts. They played in San Diego against the Chargers, and he threw six interceptions, and they still had a chance to win at the end. And I think Vinatieri missed a field goal.
It was a Monday night game, I believe.
Yeah. It was definitely a night game. It was either Sunday or Monday.
It was our freshman year in college because I had a big Colts fan in my room.
Was it that long?
My dorm room. And he, because that was the one last year. That was Peyton's last year in Colts.
And he
collapsed on the floor after the game and like madness. He wasn't my roommate. And my roommate and I are ready to go to bed. And this Colts fan is like laying on the ground for like 15 minutes. And finally gets up. See you guys tomorrow. Walks out. What the heck? Yeah.
My second winner, Buffalo Bills. I think they are the best team in the AFC.
I think the Ravens are. Bills are good too.
Baltimore's up there as well. They're definitely in the combo. And we'll be able to find out this week as Kansas City plays in Buffalo. So that'll be a very good
Baltimore plays Pittsburgh.
And Baltimore plays Pittsburgh. Yeah.
Yeah. My number two is the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
Going on the road in Chicago, winning 19-3.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming. And I don't think I've picked the Patriots as my winners yet this year, and I probably won't after this. So give the Patriots a nod there.
Bears are a mess, let's be honest.
Yes.
My last winner, the Arizona Cardinals, they continue to find a way to get it done and just destroyed the New York Jets. Jets are done. They had their nice little moment against the Houston Texans, but
they're done.
It was poetic justice for Mike Williams, as Rodgers has complained about him forever. Then they trade him to Pittsburgh, and he catches a touchdown in his first game with the Steelers, while Davante Adams does nothing for the Jets yesterday. So, but no, Cardinals are playing good, and I think Kyler Murray's playing about as well as he has here.
Yeah,
the past couple years.
James Conner's underrated, man.
He is. He's a good.
That dude's a good football player. And going back to the Jets, Aaron Rodgers, you think he's done after this year? It doesn't look like he's having fun to me.
It doesn't. He's arrogant enough, though, to come back and say things are going to be different, and he doesn't want to give up that paycheck. But he should hang it up. He's pretty washed, in my opinion.
I wonder what coach would want to come into that situation, too.
That's the thing. I don't think you're going to be – 5 years ago, you're attracting an incredible head coaching candidate to pair with Aaron Rodgers. These days, not so much, especially out in New York. It's a mess.
McCarthy might be looking for a job.
He should be looking for a job.
And lastly, speaking of the Cowboys, I'll take the Eagles as my third winner. I know they're playing against Cooper Rush, then Trey Lance, which I just read before.
I forgot about him.
Come out, Trey Lance might start this week. For the Cowboys, which why not? They thumped the Cowboys 34-6, and the Eagles are playing some good football.
Yeah, they weren't great first couple weeks, but they definitely turned it around.
Yep. Three losers. My first loser. I'm going with Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah,
losing on the road to the Saints by three. Saints interim head coach first game. Just when everybody's like, all right, Falcons could be one of those NFC title contenders, they lay an egg like this.
Yeah.
So
that's kind of what Kirk's done in his career, too.
Hope he does it Sunday.
Yeah. My first loser, Chicago Bears. That is the biggest mess of an organization in the NFL right now, even worse than the Jets, even worse than the Browns. It's the Chicago Bears. They have never fired a coach midseason, and they should. Matt Eberflus is a dead man walking. I shared the video with our group chat of David Kaplan going off because they're having their weekly Monday call with Matt Eberflus, and his phone kept cutting out. And he essentially said, your cell phone connection is just as bad as your offense. And he went on a minute-long rant of how incompetent Matt Eberflus was as Eberflus was on hold trying to get it figured out. And there's a report today that they're thinking about making a quarterback change from Caleb Williams to Tyson Badgett, which would be the dumbest thing in the history of football. Caleb Williams has not been good. His offensive line isn't good, but he has not been good either. So he's definitely at
fault. He's got weapons around him, and he has weapons around him this time.
He does.
Like just Fields.
And something's off there. And once again, they're ruining a rookie quarterback like they did with Mitch Trubisky. I know he had that one good year, but you saddle a dead man walking head coach with a, you know, number one overall pick, Caleb Williams, and here we are. I mean, he should be fired now, and the Bears should have fired him last year. How many times have we seen a guy that should have been fired and somehow saved his job has a terrible start to a season and then gets canned anyway midseason, like Eberflus should? I don't think he will, because the Bears organization is a joke. But they are losers. That entire organization is a bunch of losers.
What's wrong with the management of all the Chicago Pro?
They all stink
right now.
Yeah. There's no stars on any team. The owners are horrendous. Reinsdorf's terrible. Ricketts, there's already been statements put out by the media with the Cubs this offseason that's like, here we go again. Here we go again. They're not going to do anything. They're talking about winning on the margins like they have for the past five freaking seasons. And they're not going to do anything to improve the roster. That's very mediocre. They're very happy with just going 500, making a ton of money, staying under the luxury tax. Tom Ricketts is a loser. He's a loser. He won one. Now he's like, what else do you want from me? Honestly. Yeah. Blackhawks are probably the best run one, and they've been terrible the past 5 years or so. The city of Chicago is a mess sports-wise.
Yep. My number two loser, Indianapolis Colts, because I think they're kind of a mess right now. Joe Flacco, you know, we were even on record saying this team's better with Flacco behind center.
You're wrong.
Well, since they gave the Flack man the nod as starter, he doesn't look like a starter all of a sudden. He looks bad. Maybe just one of those guys that's better off the bench. Yeah, them and the Jets, thank goodness they flexed it out of Sunday night. That's not going to be a fun game. But if they're going to stink anyways, they're not going to make the playoffs. Go with the young kid.
Go back to
see what he can do. Mm-hmm. See what he can do. And really, Ballard should be on the hot seat. And depending on how they finish, Shane Steichen, too, should have some heat, I think.
Steichen said today that Flacco is going to start again.
I know. That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying he should have some heat, because he keeps doing that.
Yeah. My second loser, New York Giants, embarrassing performance. Daniel Jones is the worst starting quarterback in the NFL right now. He's terrible. He misses wide open receivers. I don't know if you watched any of the game, but he had a wide open kind of flea flicker. Didn't pull the trigger, got sacked on a third and one. They were going to go for it the next down, but now it took him out of even doing that. They need to go to Drew Lock, honestly. And I think Daboll should get some heat as well.
And my last loser, I was kind of struggling coming up with a third loser here. So I'm just going to pick the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mm-hmm. I know Mac Jones had a play for an injured Trevor Lawrence, but your defense does well enough to limit the Vikings to no touchdowns and four field goals for 12 points. You got to muster up 14 points. Got to figure out a way.
Yeah, especially after Darnold threw four picks, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, your defense did this job, so.
Dallas Cowboys are my last one. Mike McCarthy's another dead man walking. This Uncle Rico is more accurate than Daniel Jones. That's very, very accurate statement. Did you see Micah Parsons' comments today on?
No, I did not.
He said, I'll have to pull it up real quick because it kind of made the rounds. Parsons' comments on McCarthy. It's a very, very stupid comment. He goes, all these podcasts, guys that play podcasts that also play football.
Yeah. They shouldn't until they're out of the league, in my opinion, but
yeah, I can't even find the quote right now, but it was something like, all coaching aside, Mike can leave and go wherever he wants. That's what he said. So you've lost your team there. Mike.
Yep. Well, let's pick some games for NFL Week 11. Starting Thursday night, a good one in the NFC East. Washington Commanders at Philadelphia Eagles.
Give me Philadelphia for two.
I got the Eagles for six. I'm liking the home team there. Indianapolis Colts at New York Jets.
I have the Jets for nine.
I got the Jets for three. Not near as confident as you are there. So. Should be a good one here in Baltimore or in Pittsburgh. Baltimore Ravens at Pittsburgh Steelers.
I have Baltimore for eight.
I got Baltimore for two. Oh, man. Oh, man. Minnesota Vikings at Tennessee Titans.
I have Minnesota for seven.
I have Minnesota for 13. I think the Titans are really
bad. I think the shine's kind of worn off of Sam Darnold a little bit, though.
It has. It has, but the Titans stink. Yeah. Cleveland Browns at New Orleans Saints.
New Orleans for four.
Got the Saints for seven. I still don't think they're very good, but the Browns are very bad. Jacksonville Jaguars at Detroit Lions.
I have Detroit for 14.
I got the Lions for 14 as well. Green Bay Packers at Chicago Bears. Did you know the Packers have the longest win streak for opponent against opponent in the league over the Bears? 10. 10 games in a row.
I would have guessed that was probably it, the longest one. Packers for three, though. I think maybe we'll see a different Bears team. Who knows?
I got Packers for four. If they can't get up against their rival.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I can pick them, though, for a while. We put big points on them against Patriots.
Yeah.
And both backfired. J-Man will be at this game, the Las Vegas Raiders at Miami Dolphins. I wish I could watch the Dolphins tonight against the Rams before picking this game.
Me too. Tyreek Hill has a torn ligament in his wrist, but it sounds like he's going to play through it. Hopefully Dolphins lose this one. They'll just tank, but they win this one. Then you get, you know, the Raiders at home, New England at home. Could find yourselves 5-6 heading into a big matchup in Green Bay Thanksgiving night. I do think the Dolphins win, and I have the Dolphins for 10.
I got Dolphins for 5. L.A. Rams at New England Patriots, a rematch of the most boring Super Bowl that ever was. Yeah.
Rams for 6.
I got the Rams for 10. Seattle Seahawks at San Francisco 49ers, who good win for them over the Buccaneers.
I have the Niners for 13.
I got the Niners for 12. Atlanta Falcons at the Denver Broncos, rematch from Super Bowl 33.
This might only be the second time I've done this year, but I'm taking Denver. Denver for 1. I think it'll be a very good game.
I got Denver for 9. I'm ready to get hurt. But I can't get hurt much worse than I did yesterday. So. Kansas City, Denver's got about four games coming up they got to take advantage of, starting on Sunday. Kansas City Chiefs at Buffalo Bills.
This will be the J-Man's bookie prediction of the week. I have the Bills, and I have the Bills for 12.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, in Buffalo, I think they get it done. J-Man's bookie prediction of the week brought to you by Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance Agent Travis Watson for Life Home Auto. Business, renters, workers' comp, and farm insurance. Contact Travis 219-869-4561.
I'm taking the Bills as well, bowling for one. I'm telling you, this black voodoo magic stuff going on in Kansas City.
It's very real.
It's very real. Taylor Swift stuff, just something.
Yeah.
Something, referees calling legal contact when it wasn't, but that's okay. Oh, the Cincinnati Bengals at the LA Chargers.
Oh, man. I don't know why I'm doing this, but give me Cincinnati for 5.
I got the Chargers for 8.
Cincinnati hasn't beaten anyone yet, and I don't know if they're going
to. They play up and down to the competition. So, and the battle for Texas. I'm tired of seeing both these teams in primetime games.
Yeah.
Houston Texans at Dallas Cowboys.
I've been saying it all year that something's off with the Texans in the past couple weeks. With that being said, give me Houston for 11.
Yeah, I got Houston for 11 as well, but I'm with you. Something's off with Stroud and the Texans. Yeah. I don't know. Something's not right there. So. We only got 5 minutes left and still got to do pick six.
I have a pick six for you here. We talked about head coaches that should be fired midseason, Matt Eberflus. So I have a random list here over the past 10 years of head coaches that were fired midseason by their teams. Starting with the guy who's been fired midseason twice. There's a couple guys on this list that have been fired midseason twice. But this guy just got fired last week, and that is Dennis Allen.
Yeah, good defense coordinator, not a good head coach. I thought he got a raw deal in Oakland. They only gave him about 2 years, and that roster was a joke back then. But he got more time than he probably deserved in New Orleans. Needs to go be a coordinator somewhere, maybe after taking a year off. And I doubt he's ever head coached again, but he can be a good coordinator.
Your boy Nathaniel Hackett.
Oh, man. One of the worst NFL coaches of all time. Seems like a nice guy, just – was not ready to be a head coach, and he probably never will be again. And he's not even good enough to be an office coordinator in the league anymore. So,
These two are very similar. Hackett and then Joe Philbin.
Oh man, he just looks like Mr. Garrison off of Mr. Mackey. That's right, not yeah. Mr. Garrison. Mr. Mackey off of South Park. Also seemed like a nice guy, just didn't seem fit to be a head coach.
Yeah, both offensive coordinators for Aaron Rodgers, and neither guy called plays, and Rodgers gave his endorsement. So very, very similar sort of situations there. Another one of your boys, John Gruden, future Purdue head coach.
trust me, there's people in the message boards that want that. John Gruden, junkie, you will not fight a guy who loves football more than John Gruden. But
he's a football junkie.
I don't know if he'll get hired by anybody because of that whole email situation, but I do think he is a good football coach. I honestly do. He just he's a lot. He's a lot to handle.
He is. Another one of your boys. I got a lot of your boys on here. Josh McDaniels.
I can't say what I want to say because FCC regulations, but that dude will never be a head coach again in the league.
Yeah.
He's a cheater wherever he goes. He's a hothead. He's a drama queen, king, I should say. Not only see him being a coordinator because Uncle Billy Boy is not head coach to save him anymore. So he's a joke.
Last one here, Rex Ryan.
He's just going to go eat some snacks. Yeah. He wants that Jets job again. They were talking about it on ESPN the other day, if he'd take it, if he got offered. He goes, oh, absolutely I would. You kidding me? And he goes, so would 200 other people.
Be like Lovey taking the Bears over.
Yeah, again. So good old Rex. I enjoy him on TV, but that's a good place for him.
Yeah, he's pretty good on TV.
I think that's a good place for him. But good pick six list, J-Man. That's brought to you by Performa Prints U Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for your next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting, Performa Prints U Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815.
College hoops real quick. Gonzaga killed Baylor by 40-plus points. We had Auburn Tigers fighting on their airplane and had to make an emergency landing. Really only
then
one
they,
big
thing. Then they beat somebody ranked.
Houston.
Over the weekend. Houston. Yeah.
There's really only been one Big Ten team that has a quality win so far, and that is Ohio State beating number 19 Texas. Northwestern lost at Dayton on Saturday, and yesterday Michigan lost to Wake Forest by 2. Those are really the only other opportunities teams have had so far. But this week Michigan State plays in that stupid
championship classic
thing, and then Purdue plays Alabama, hosts number 2 Alabama. Host
Alabama Friday night. They host Yale tonight. Yale's NCAA tournament team who beat Auburn last year.
Yeah, they're usually pretty solid. So
yeah, and Purdue's without their starting center for the rest of the year, freshman Daniel Jacobson broke his tibia two possessions into the game Friday night. It didn't even look like it was that bad. I would guess it was a bone bruise when it happened. He's so
super skinny and super tall that you wonder if. You wonder.
It's kind of like a Chet Holmgren who broke his pelvis for the Thunder over the weekend. That guy keeps getting hurt in the NBA. So
very similar. Very similar.
Yeah. But that's not how you want to start season at Purdue. They've been pretty lucky with injuries for the past six seasons, but this is definitely not one you want to eat early.
Yeah.
Can't do anything about it.
Nope. Get me with that birdie bogey.
Yeah, there's been five Big Ten teams who have won a national championship in both football and basketball. Can you name
Michigan?
Michigan won basketball in 1989, football in 1901, 02, 03, 04, 1918, 23, 32, 33, 47, 48, 97, and last year in 2023.
I want to say Indiana claims a national title in football.
They do not.
Oh, great. I know Illinois does, but they've never won a basketball one. USC?
No.
Oregon?
No.
Washington?
No.
Minnesota?
No.
Maryland?
Yes. 1953 for football and 2002 for basketball.
Rutgers?
No.
Michigan State?
Yeah, 79 and 2000. Football, they won 51, 52, 55, 57, 65, and 66.
The 50s belonged to the Spartans.
Yeah, in the 60s.
Yeah. I got no more guesses. I'm embarrassed for myself.
The Ohio State, 1960 for basketball, and then 42, 54, 57, 61, 68, 70, 02, and 2014.
They weren't even on my mind.
UCLA.
I thought about UCLA when you originally asked the question, then I forgot about them.
54 for football and basketball, 64, 65, 67 through 73, 75, and 95.
Cool. Awesome. Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man show. We'll be hopefully better next Monday, but probably not. Have a fantastic week, everybody.